Well, I'm very happy to be here to be able to testify to what the Lord has done over the years of my life. It's a little bit hard to put 82.5 years into 5 or 10 minutes, but when I was asking the Lord about it, he directed my thoughts to this verse, Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. Thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God hath led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee. He suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. But it was the words, thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God hath led thee. When we say all the way, it's not all the good ways. Sometimes we're very grateful to the Lord for all the good things, but we're not always so happy about the things that don't go so well. And we all have experiences through our lives that are not good. And we have things where we are on mountaintops and can rejoice, and then we have valley experiences. And I've had both, as most of us have. And I just thought I would tell you, I was born, as I said, 82.5 years ago. And then I was born again at the age of 16 through the testimony of a girlfriend. I'd been to Sunday school and church, and I'd signed a decision card year by year. And then one day I was faced up by her with this question: when you signed the decision card, what did it mean to you? Did you really accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal saviour, or was it something you just did? Well, I think it was something I just did, because I'd been brought up in a nominal Christian home, and then of course I believed in a general way, but didn't know what it meant to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my own personal saviour. And anyhow, that was about the age of 16, and then I was about 18 years of age, I was introduced into the work of the City Mission, and the Lord then was giving me preparation, although it was a good many years from then before I went out as a missionary with the Aborigines, but he was giving me then a look at a different kind of people, people that were the dregs of society, people who were poor and dirty and often hungry, and people that we despise. There was a women's meeting, and there was a down-and-outs tea. And the down-and-outs tea, well, there were doctors, there were lawyers, there were all kinds of men at the very end of life. They were down with drink and disease and dirt, and you just couldn't have believed that ever they'd known anything different. And there the missionaries sought to bring them to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, time went by, and I was baptised, and I met up with some of the Christians at Waitara, and I was baptised and came into fellowship at the age of 19 years. And it was always been a missionary-minded assembly, and I learned a good deal about different mission fields in India and China, but it pleased the Lord to call me to work among Aborigines, not anyone overseas, but the people who were poor and despised of our own country. And I was with the Aborigine Inland Mission for some years, and I learned there what it meant to live a life of faith, to just trust the Lord Jesus, trust God for my living, depend on him for everything, material and spiritual. And I've always been very grateful to the Lord for that experience that I gained there. There's a verse in Mark 11:22, it says, have faith in God. And I read a translation of that that says, hold fast the faithfulness of God. Because our faith is often very small, but we have to hold fast to the faithfulness of God, because he never fails. Well, ultimately, I married, and my husband had already been in the Aborigine, working with the Aborigine Inland Mission. And after a few years in Mitchell, in the southwest of Queensland, the Lord told us he wanted us to leave there and go somewhere where his name was not known. And through the Department of Native Affairs, we were directed to the Gulf of Carpentaria to a little place, population of about 30 white people, and a camp of Aborigines, poor, neglected people who had never heard the gospel. The Department of Native Affairs said that no missionary had ever been there, so we felt that that was where the Lord wanted us. And we found these people, as I said, poor, dirty, neglected, with no one to care for their souls, and they didn't care for their bodies, let alone their souls. And we settled down there. We had travelled overland. We were a bit like Paul. He said he was in journeyings oft, and he knew what it was to suffer shipwreck, but we didn't suffer shipwreck, but we knew plenty about flooded rivers and crocodiles and various things as we went up that way. But we were in Burketown among these people for 2 years, and then we went out, way out into the bush to a place that the natives called Dumaji, and there we settled down with them and created a little settlement where they could live, where they were away from white influence, which white influence has never ever been good for Aborigines. We can't boast that white people can say, oh well, you know, there are Christians and there are heathen. If you're white, you're Christian, and if you're not, you're heathen. Well, the white influence has never been help to any of them. And these Aboriginal people only knew the worst kind, I'm sorry to say. So we built up this little settlement there, and it was very hard very often because it was 80 miles for access for food, and my husband especially had a very hard time because he used to have to go in and out of the town with pack horses to bring food to us. And we were about 180 miles from a doctor, and the Lord was marvellous. He didn't let us be tried above that we were able. And with every trial, he gave us blessing. That's one thing that the Lord showed us. He doesn't allow us to be tried above that we are able. And with the trials, there's always some blessing comes. It may not be just at that time we see the blessing, but the blessing ultimately comes because otherwise he wouldn't have allowed us to be tried. And the Lord gave blessing, and we saw many of these dark people come to the Lord. But after 5 years, my husband's health broke down, and we weren't able to carry on there, and we had to come home. We had two little children, Frank and Victor. They were born before we went. They travelled with us through the back country until we eventually got to the Gulf. We were a little bit like pioneers going through the country with a car, which wasn't always up to standard and very often broke down, and we had lots of bogs and all kinds of things. And then we had another little baby, which the Lord took. And anyhow, after 5 years, we came back, and we came back to a different kind of life, as my husband could no longer, with fever and one thing and another, he couldn't return to the Gulf. And it sounds a bit strange in Australia that you can't go back to a place because of fever. Gulf fever was very prevalent then. And now things are very different up there. There's close on 1,000 Aborigines in the Dumaji Mission, and they have electricity and all refrigeration. There's lighted streets, and you know, you can buy ice creams up there now. Anyhow, then we came back to a different kind of life where for some couple of years my husband wasn't able to do anything, and then he took up secular work again and ministered to people in little outback place up in the Hawkesbury River District where he saw much blessing. And I was the mother of, by then, of five children, and that was the work the Lord had for me. I wasn't able to go out very much, but it was marvellous how the Lord brought people to the door that needed help. And he will do that. If you're willing, you can't go anywhere. You can't go out and do something for the Lord. The Lord will bring the people to you as long as you're prepared to help. And so life has gone by. We know what it is to bring up a family of teenagers, you know, go through all the hassles. Perhaps they weren't as bad then as they are now, but still, you still have a lot of emotional stress. And so I know what it is to be a mother and a grandmother, and now I'm a great grandmother, I'm happy to say. And all the way I can just say the Lord has been faithful. And I'd just like to finish with this. I say, great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need of, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. But there's just one little thought that came to me, and I'd like to leave that with you. King George VI, I think, quoted these words one Christmas, and this will be something for you all for Christmas and the New Year. I said to the one who stood at the gate of the year, give me light that I might walk safely in the unknown way. And he said, put your hand into the hand of God. Step out into the darkness. It will be better to you than light, and safer than a known way.